So over the last few Sunday evenings, we've been working through a number of kind of devotions in the Beatitudes, in this passage in Matthew at the start of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we're continuing this. And these verses have shown us some of the characteristics that we should see in believers, in Christians, as they live out their lives as part of Jesus' kingdom people. It's good to remember that actually this isn't some kind of checklist that gets us entry into God's kingdom. It is the marks of those who are already part of it. That is, those who have recognized that they fall short of God's standard and that because of their sin, they need that forgiveness that is on offer through Jesus Christ. And it's that forgiveness and that mercy which we're going to be focusing on this evening. The dictionary definition of mercy is this. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. It'd be helpful to just keep that in the back of your mind. Now, the first four Beatitudes have called us to firstly recognize the lack of our own personal holiness, to mourn over sin, to show meekness before God, because we understand that our sin doesn't allow us to access to God, and therefore to long for righteousness that will restore that relationship with God. But that restoration, that renewing of that relationship cannot come without mercy. The debt of our sin that has dragged us into that spiritual poverty needs to be paid. And this is where God shows mercy. We read this in Psalm 130 this evening. The psalmist wrote this, "Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." Then in verses 7 to 8, "Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." The psalmist tells us that if our sin is not dealt with, if it's not wiped from the record of our lives, then we cannot stand before God with any claim before him. We won't be able to stand before him and say that we should enter through the gates of heaven. We have no right. Our sin is the barrier to that entry. In fact, our sin condemns us to hell. But with God, who has that power to punish, there is the opportunity of forgiveness. There is mercy. The psalmist tells us God will redeem through himself his people. How does he do this? Well, we're told in the Bible he sends Jesus Christ. He sends Jesus for people like me and for people like you. Every single one of us. Jesus came to earth as a man. He died on the cross and he came back to life after 3 days. Why did he do that? Why did he live this life of perfection on earth only to go and die? So that I could have the record of my sin removed. So that you can also have the record of everything wrong you have ever done removed. If you accept that, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, then that means you now have a certainty of heaven. It means that you can stand before God. Your sin is no more. You can say that Jesus died for me and my sin is dealt with. And you can joyously enter God's presence. Acts 10, verse 43 tells us, "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him," that's Jesus, "receives forgiveness of sins through his name." For those that ask God for forgiveness, it's done. It's certain. No matter what sits in your past, God has dealt with it. It's one of the greatest of the devil's lies to a Christian that there is any sin that is not dealt with in your life. If you're trusting God for forgiveness, then that sin is dealt with. It is. Don't be deceived. And because of that mercy that God has shown us, the certainty of spending eternity with him is in our future. It is there. It is real. But what about now? The psalmist hints at this in verse 4. He writes, "But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you." Forgiveness leads to our call to serve God. In this case, the beatitude that we're looking at, it calls us to be merciful because of the mercy that we have received. It's the mark of a true believer that they themselves will show mercy to others because of the mercy that they have been shown. Their showing of mercy isn't them trying to gain favor with God. We can't do that. We don't make the first move. God made that first move of forgiveness. A believer's showing of mercy comes from knowing the mercy that they have received. Just like in that parable which Tom read for us, of the unmerciful servant, there in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus really clearly teaches that those who have received mercy should also be merciful. In that passage, just before, Jesus has been teaching the disciples about how to handle when those within the church have done wrong, when they've sinned. And Peter, off the back of this, then asks an insightful question. So if someone has wronged me, how much forgiveness do I need to show that person? 7 times? Jesus' answer is radical. You need to show them as much mercy and forgiveness as you have received. And that is bountiful mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus' warning is really quite severe. In verse 32 of Matthew chapter 18, we read this. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." That is a scary warning. Jesus is saying that those who have wronged us, we must forgive because of the forgiveness that we have received. It's come full circle. Those who have received mercy but do not demonstrate mercy in their own lives are showing actually they haven't really understood what it means to receive mercy from God. They have instead just tried to take advantage of it. This is why those who have truly received God's mercy will live out this beatitude, will experience that blessing of showing mercy and then receive the blessing of God's mercy at judgment day. Jesus tells us, blessed are the merciful. Not only are they blessed in their escape from punishment, because they receive mercy, but exercising mercy itself is a blessing. Maybe think back. Can you think of a time where you have exercised mercy? It might have been practical, where you've helped someone who was in dire need. It may have been forgiveness, where someone has deeply wronged you and you have forgiven them. Exercising forgiveness can be painful, can be a difficult experience, but I think it would be fair to say that anyone who's experienced that restoration, that forgiveness, will understand how much of a blessing it was to go through that at the end. Both to you, the one who exercised forgiveness, and to the one who also received the mercy that you gave. And also, certainly, exercising practical mercy brings about blessing. Again, it may be a stressful situation, But once it is over, it brings us joy to know that we were able to have helped someone in a situation who really, really needed it. As I prepared this sermon this week, I tried to think through kind of what are the practical implications of this. How do we show mercy? What should it look like as Christians? And I'll confess, I actually kind of came up short. Is it that we just exercise forgiveness? Is it just practical, like the Good Samaritan? Well, it's both of those things, but to open those up a bit more, and as I read, I came upon Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 9 to 23 of that, so it might be helpful to have that open in your Bible. Romans chapter 12, Paul writes this: "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now in this chapter, Paul has been talking about what the Christian life should be like. And his description here is full of many things, but particularly it is loaded with mercy, all of them really practical. I don't know if you spotted them as we went through. Hopefully, yeah, they'll be on the slide behind me, because there's a lot of them. Firstly, in verse 8, which we didn't read, but Paul is talking about different gifts, and he says, if it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. So we should be showing mercy with cheerfulness. Our love should be sincere and genuine towards each other, in verse 9. We should share with God's people who are in need, verse 13. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Mourn with those who mourn, verse 15. Be willing to associate with people of a low position, verse 16. Repay no one evil for evil, verse 17. And do not take revenge, verse 19. And if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Verse 20. Each of these is a really practical way of showing mercy to both our brothers and sisters as Christians and also to those around us. Giving money to the church's pastoral fund helps those within our church who are in need. This is a demonstration of mercy. Those of you who are involved with the night shelter, you're showing mercy by helping those who are in need and by associating with those who society often sees as cast-offs. When we share in the sorrow of someone who has lost a loved one, we show mercy. When we are wronged but we don't seek revenge, we're extending mercy to that person. We have the opportunity to show mercy when we are mocked, when we are bullied, or maybe when we are discriminated against in the workplace because of what we believe. And Paul even speaks the way we should show mercy. It shouldn't be done begrudgingly. We should be cheerful in the way that we give mercy. I think it's one thing to say that you wouldn't take revenge on someone who has wronged you, or to say that you will bless someone who is persecuting you, but it takes it to a whole other level to say that you would do that cheerfully. Many of these things are hard, but we mustn't forget the reason or the strength from where this mercy comes from. It's not rooted in our own strength. It's not rooted in our own desire to gain favor with God. But this expressions of mercy are an reflection of the mercy that we have already received from God. God not only extends forgiveness, but he mercifully gives us strength each day to go and to serve him and to show mercy to others. So in this beatitude, Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." We've looked at the fact that God has given those who accept it incredible mercy. Mercy that deals with all of our sin once and for all and gives us that certain hope that if we are trusting in Jesus, we can stand before God and be granted entry into heaven. Mercy that allows our relationship with God to be restored, to know that we can call him Father, that we can come before him in prayer and know that he listens. This is the root, this is the source of our own mercy to others. Remember the warning of the parable. The mercy we have received is extravagant. It's beyond any kind of mercy that we could ever show. So we too need to show that mercy to others in some small part. Therefore, the challenge to us this evening is that as we go out into our lives, it's that we should remember the mercy that Jesus has shown us through his death on the cross and show that mercy to others. It'd be helpful now just to take a few minutes just to kind of think and reflect and to pray. If we can keep those practical ways to show mercy on the screen, we can maybe think about what that means for each of us. We all have different situations and people we interact with, different ways that people have wronged us. And I think it would be good to just take a few moments now just to bring those before God and to help us to live lives that reflect his mercy.